As Australia moves towards a clean energy future, a number of new and exciting economic and environmental opportunities are opening up to communities and businesses around the country. A great example of this is carbon farming, which has the potential to benefit many rural and remote communities, providing them with an income as part of the carbon economy, while at the same time assisting them with local revegetation and land management projects. Parliamentary Secretary for Climate Change and Energy Efficiency, Mark Dreyfus, explains.
Carbon in the soil is a good thing because it makes land more productive, but carbon pollution in the atmosphere is a problem because it's changing our climate. And we have a plan to reduce pollution from carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases to move the country to a clean energy future. Chief among that is the carbon price, which gives an incentive for industries to cut their pollution. But we are also promoting innovation and investment in other types of energy and encouraging energy efficiency and creating opportunities in the land sector to cut pollution. The opportunities under the government's plan for a clean energy future are particularly the carbon farming initiative. And what that is a voluntary offset scheme that gives rewards to farmers and landholders who are participating in reducing carbon pollution. It does that by creating a credit for every tonne of carbon pollution that's reduced or stored on the land, and those credits can be sold into carbon markets. So, for example, businesses that have to pay the carbon price, they'll be able to buy those credits to offset their own emissions, or another form of businesses who are offering carbon neutral products to consumers, they would be buying those credits as well.
One of the first methodologies that's been approved under the Carbon Farming Initiative is the reduction of emissions from savanna fires. Other methodologies that are expected to become available over coming months include reducing emissions by managing feral animals, reducing livestock emissions, increasing the amount of carbon that can be stored in soils, or establishing vegetation that stores carbon in the landscape.
One of the first methodologies or projects that we've approved under the Carbon Farming Initiative is a methodology for reducing emissions from savanna fires. That's something that is going to be of particular relevance to people in the top end, people across the high rainfall areas of Australia. But broader than that, Indigenous Australians manage presently around 20% of the landmass of Australia, and they manage by drawing on traditional knowledge, and in particular with their own knowledge of fire, flood and drought. The other methodologies that we're expecting that will become available over coming months, in addition to the savanna fire methodology that's already approved and already in use in Arnhem Land, in West Arnhem Land, would include reducing emissions by managing feral animals, reducing livestock emissions, increasing the amount of carbon that can be stored in soils, or establishing vegetation that stores carbon in the landscape. And I've actually met with one Indigenous group that wants to plant Kakadu plums to store carbon and provide bush food. The other point I'd make about participation for Indigenous land managers is that projects like this will provide opportunities for Indigenous rangers to work on their own country. And it's a terrific combination of customary land management practices and use of modern technology.
That was Parliamentary Secretary Mark Dreyfus. Perhaps the most exciting element of carbon farming is the economic and local employment benefits it could provide to a range of Indigenous communities. Joe Morrison is the CEO of North Australian Indigenous Land and Sea Management Alliance.
From our point of view, it's really about land use management and deriving sort of economic opportunities from the better management of land, and particularly for Indigenous people in Northern Australia. There represents a number of significant opportunities to better manage their land, incentivise the management of their land, and to move slightly from relying wholeheartedly on public sector overlays into a mix of public and private funding streams for Indigenous people in Northern Australia.
And the development of Aboriginal carbon farming projects recognises the unique traditional knowledge Aboriginal people can bring to local land management.
There's an emerging high sort of interest and people wanting to know a bit more about carbon farming opportunities in Northern Australia. It's been very important to get people to understand that at the end of the day, things like savanna burning is really about better fine management, and in our views, it's really about reinstating past traditional practices in the management of some of these landscapes and reinstating some of that. And that's been, I guess, a steep learning curve for a lot of people to all of a sudden realise that there's a opportunity for the market or big corporates to pay for something that people have been doing for a long time. And to be able to do that a lot better is obviously of great excitement for Indigenous people.
Down in South Australia, Mick Durant, a senior vegetation consultant at Greening Australia, has been working closely with Aboriginal communities to provide them with the information they need to take on carbon farming projects.
We're running a 3-day training course for Aboriginal communities. So the course is really about giving the Aboriginal communities the information required so that they can access the full range of funding opportunities and gain entry into the carbon market, you know, on the same sort of footing as other people who may, you know, have more information and be better sort of placed for it.
Mick says carbon farming presents some important economic opportunities for Indigenous communities, while at the same time supporting local Aboriginal people to care for their land.
The obvious one really is that it really works for communities where there are additional benefits, I guess. So not just the carbon itself, it's where communities are looking to do some revegetation anyway. They're looking to look after country. So the funding opportunities that the federal government provides through the Biodiversity Fund and other programs give them an opportunity to really do the things that they want to do anyway, which is look after the land. And it also gives an opportunity to get participants, you know, reimbursed, so there's the money to be able to work on that country and achieve the things they want to do.
Local Aboriginal participants in Greening Australia's training program agree that carbon farming could be a great opportunity for the development of their community. Anita Hunter lives in Sugar Shack, 127 kilometres northeast of Adelaide on the Murray River, and participated in a recent 3-day training program.
The main thing was really knowing how we can figure out how we can grow some more trees and that, so that it's more life, it's the air and everything like that that's just going to make our future brighter for us. We even measured the trees and that, the blue, you know, the big gum trees and that around on our land, and for them being there that long, you know, a few hundred years, you know, it was really good measuring. What we're doing now is still revegetating and everything through the area and growing other plants and bushes and everything. That's local, you know, in our area. It's going to be something for our future. It's going to be something for our children's future. It's all my grandchildren and everything like that. I'm seeing sort of the realisation of the ending of it, but at least it's something for my grandchildren and their future.
To find out more about what's happening to develop carbon farming initiatives around Australia and the government's support for Aboriginal carbon farming, visit cleanenergyfuture.gov.au.
The Our Country, Our Future project is supported by the Department of Climate Change and Energy Efficiency.